We're going to ask our brethren to come, not come forward. As I see how routine I am. The offering box is located out there on the circle with the flowers on it. We put an offering box back there. Brings us back to old memories. That's what we did years and years ago for a long time, in fact, until we had television ministry. And some visitors persuaded us to pass a plate. So there's a box back there if you wish to give an offering to help in this ministry. I want to say to all of those who are viewing by the internet, whether sermon or audio or Ustream, we appreciate you and we appreciate your support and your prayers also. I opened up an envelope just a moment ago, just a few minutes ago, addressed to the church from the state of Oregon with a wonderful gift in it for the support of the ministry here. They watch on the internet. So please pray for us. Be safe. Keep yourselves safe. Keep yourselves. I don't know if we can be separated too much, but I think some of you, probably everybody's having to go to the grocery store. I want to add to that prayer list, Mr. and Ms. Bishop. Maybe you all know her. Marianne Bishop is down in her back. They would probably be here today. And she's down in her back. And Mr. Bishop is our brother who had the ear surgery several months ago. And he's doing okay. But please remember her. And I heard Todd mention Evelyn Carrico also. And, you know, Evelyn recently lost her husband, Dale. They've been worshiping here 35, 40 years. So please remember them, too. Any other announcements that we need to make? At all? All right, then I'm going to ask you to stand together, and we're going to open our Bibles and read Scripture. Sue, I'll tell you what, let me get you to come back up here. Let's sing our appeal to the Lord. You tell we're a routine. I am. And when I get out of my routine, man, I'm in trouble. Let's sing an appeal to the Lord.
Father, I stretch my hand to thee. No other help I know. If thou withdraw thyself from me, I whither shall I go? Ah, whither shall I go?
All right, open your Bibles to the book of Genesis. The book of Genesis. And we'll just look at a very short passage of Scripture. In chapter 2, Genesis. Chapter 2, hope all of you will pray for our internet ministry. It seems to be growing, and we want to glorify the Lord with the truth of his word. So pray for that ministry in particular. Genesis chapter 2, verse 15. Took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. In the day that you eat thereof you shall surely die. And the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a helper that's fitted exactly for him. And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air, and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. Whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all the cattle and to the fowl of the air and to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found an help exactly suited for him. And the Lord caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. He took one of his ribs, he closed up the flesh thereof, and the rib which the Lord God had taken for man made he a woman, and he brought her unto the man. And Adam said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man." Somebody said that Adam might have been running around kind of crazy, and the Lord said, "Whoa, man, whoa. I'm going to make somebody slow you down a little bit." So he made a woe man. "Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and there shall be one flesh. They were both naked, the man and his wife, and they were not ashamed." Now Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3. This is after the sin of Adam. Verse 17. "Because you have listened unto the voice of your wife, and you have eaten of the tree of which I commanded you, saying, 'You shall not eat of it,' cursed is the ground for your sake. In sorrow shall you eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face thou shalt eat bread until thou return unto the ground, for out of it were you taken, for dust you are, and unto dust you shall return." And Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. May the Lord add his blessings to the reading of his word, and let God's people say, "Praise the Lord." You may be seated. I want to wish all of you mothers today a happy Mother's Day. Some have this and others have that, but everyone has a mother. Someone loves this, some love this, and some love that, but everyone loves their mother. Some are applauded and some are booed, and some have to run for cover. But there's one person to whom all can go, and you know who that is. It's mother. A mother is the Bible's most honored woman. Great stress is laid upon the influence of mothers. The word mother in some form or other appears in the Bible around 300 times. As we've just read, motherhood began with Eve's very first woman. Eve was, like all of you mothers, but especially Eve, was a totally unique woman. How was she unique? She was unique, first of all, in that she was the very first woman on earth. There can never be another first. She was absolutely unique. Secondly, Eve was the most beautiful woman to have ever lived. The most beautiful woman to have ever lived. Truly, she was Miss Universe. You say, how would you know that she was the most beautiful woman who ever lived? Because she was formed by God Himself. And if you can imagine, with all the marvelous wonders that God has created, what that first woman must have looked like. And she came forth from the hand of the Lord, perfect and pure. She was physically perfect and she was spiritually pure. She was physically perfect. I think somebody may be trying to get in out there, if somebody wants to let them in. She was physically perfect. She was in no way contaminated by defective DNA handed down from ancestors as we are. She did not inherit imperfections of any kind from those who lived before her. Her body was absolutely perfect. It was free from all defects, and she was spiritually pure. Her father was God, and she had within her soul a perfect desire to walk with her father in perfect willing obedience. And she had something that no other woman since has had. And what was that? Well, she had the ability to please her father, the spiritual ability to walk with him without sin. That is, when she was created. So she was the perfect woman in every way. She was physically perfect. She was spiritually pure. She was willing to walk with God. She was able to walk with God. She was a wonderful woman by any standard. And as we read in Genesis 3:20, she was named by her husband. He called her Eve. And Eve means life. That is translated life. It could be translated living. When we think of Adam, we think of death, especially the death of the body. All die in Adam. All follow Adam in death, toward death. But when we think of Eve, we think of life, the life of the soul. Her name meant life. And later, as a mother, she gave life to others. But in the next place, Eve was the first female sinner on earth. When she succumbed to the temptation of the tempter, her soul was separated from the Lord, and she suffered loss. First of all, she suffered loss of equality. We can go back and find out that the Lord said to Eve, "Your husband shall rule over you." Before they sinned, there was none of that. There was none of I'm first and you're second, or I'm the head and you're not. There was none of that. But that came as a result of her part in the sin of her husband. Your husband shall rule over you. So she lost equality. She lost relationship. She lost a relationship with her God and her father. And she suffered the loss of a painless existence, especially in her most important role of childbearing. And she suffered loss of spiritual liberty and loss of freedom of the will. You hear a lot of people today that really get their feathers ruffled when we're talking about the sovereignty of God. They say, well, you know, man has a free will. Well, I want to beg your pardon on that. Man had a free will when he was created, but he doesn't have a free will since he sinned. You are a free moral agent. You have a will. You can make decisions, but your will is always in your best interest. Your will is never in the interest of God Almighty until you're regenerated. If you're regenerated, if you're saved, if you come to know the Lord, then you learn to say, not my will, but thine be done. But by nature, we all want our own will. And so she suffered the loss of freedom and the loss of the will. But Eve was the first mother on earth. Not only was she a unique woman, but she was unique as a mother, being the very first one ever upon the earth. And this brings up a thought. All mothers are in some way unique. You say, how is that? Well, first of all, they are made so by the Almighty God. No one can make a mother but the Lord God Almighty. Men can't make mothers, and scientists can't create mothers, and there'll never be a test tube mother. Only God can make a woman a mother. Mothers are, to speak further of how women as mothers are unique, mothers are God's chosen means for God's purposes, for the human race and for all history. You name anyone you want to, whether they've impacted history or not, one thing they all had in common. They all had a mother. You wouldn't have had a man to believe God if he hadn't had a mother, Abraham. You wouldn't have had an Isaac or a Jacob or a Moses. Even our Savior was born of a woman, made under the law and made of a woman. Stalin had a mother. Do you know that Stalin went to seminary? Went to seminary. They probably taught him rote and ritual and ceremony. They didn't teach him the gospel. Hitler had a mother. Everybody has a mother. So mothers are God's chosen means to accomplish God's purposes for the human race in all of history. Everyone has a mother, and every mother has a child. Mothers love like no other. Mother loves regardless. I read a story about one of the most notorious criminals I've ever heard of. I think he was in the state of Illinois. And he killed five people. And when they had his trial, his mother was there crying. And she first, before they had his trial, she went to the governor to see if she could work out some petition for him to be pardoned as a special object of mercy. And of course she failed in that. And then when they had his trial, she was there every day at her son's trial. And when he was condemned to death, she ran up and grabbed her boy, and they had to have guards to tear her away from her son. And then when they condemned her son to death, she begged the governor to let her have her son's body and to be able to take care of his burial. But she was refused. She didn't live too long after her son died, but she petitioned the governor and said, "Let me be buried next to my son." She wasn't ashamed to be known as the mother of the most notorious criminal that this state had ever known. Now, what does that tell us? Well, it tells us that a mother's love is stronger than death. Even death cannot put out the fire of a mother's love, cannot quench the love of a mother. And mothers are unique in the pain department, too. They were the first person, the first human being, to experience physical pain. No woman becomes a mother without pain. Mothers are women who are willing to experience pain and even the possibility of death to bear children. And perhaps this is why mothers possess the tremendous capacity for empathy and for sympathy. And mothers are those who rear their children in order to leave them. Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother, and he shall cleave unto his wife. And mothers are unique for other reasons, besides being the first to experience physical pain. Somebody said it takes about 6 weeks to get back to normal after you've had a baby. A woman wrote this, and she said, "Somebody doesn't know that once you're a mother, normal is history." Somebody said, "Being a mother is boring." Somebody never rode in a car driven by a teenager with a driver's permit. Somebody said that if you're a good mother, your child will turn out good. Well, somebody must think that a child comes with directions and a guarantee. Somebody said you can't love the fifth child as much as you love the first child. Somebody never had five children. Somebody said the hardest part of being a mother is labor and delivery. Somebody never watched a baby get on a bus first day of school or kindergarten or on an airplane headed for a foreign land. Somebody said a mother's job is done when her last child leaves home. Somebody never had grandchildren. Somebody said your mother knows you love her, so you don't need to tell her. Somebody isn't a mother. Mothers were the first to shed tears. Remember Adam and Eve had two boys, Cain and Abel. And Cain killed his brother Abel, and don't you know that that broke his mother's heart? Mothers were the first to lose what they had brought into the world. And most mothers are undervalued, unappreciated. Probably the most undervalued and unappreciated persons in the world. But they're highly regarded in heaven by the King of Heaven. Our Lord Jesus Christ made sure his mother was taken off when he was taken care of when he was dying on the cross. I read to you from John chapter 19. As Jesus was hanging on the cross, when he saw his mother and the disciple standing by whom he loved, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." And then he said to that disciple, that's John, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, that disciple took her into his own home. Jesus was taking care of his mother even while he was dying on the cross. So I say that Jesus has the highest regard for mothers and the role of mothers, but the world does not. But all of that will change one day. Let me tell you a story. It was a train station, and it was very crowded. And there was an important person who was about to appear. And there was a band there. There were hundreds of people there awaiting this important person to come down off of the train. That person happened to be Teddy Roosevelt, the President of the United States, and he was returning from a safari in Africa. And arriving on the same trip, on the same train with President Roosevelt, was a little woman named Alice Smith. And Alice Smith had been a faithful Christian mother who had spent years raising her seven children. Her husband died when he was only 48 years old. And she had to single-handedly raise all of those children, working night and day, going without in order to give the best she had to her children and trying to educate them as well. And while the multitudes were gathered at the train station there to welcome President Roosevelt, no one was there to greet Alice Smith, the mother of seven children, who had worked all those years because her husband died at age 48. And in that moment, the great enemy of the souls of men, the devil, took advantage of that situation. And he began to whisper in her ear, "No one knows you're here, Alice. No one even cares about you. You are of absolutely no, you're not important. You are of no importance. What can you do? What can you accomplish? You're only a mother." And as she heard the band playing and the crowds hoorahing for President Roosevelt, suddenly a still small voice, as they were shouting for the president, somebody held up a big sign, "Welcome home!" And somebody whispered, the Lord whispered in Alice Smith's ear and said, "Alice, you're not home yet. You're not home yet. The Bible says, cheer up, dear mother, it won't be long. You'll hear the everlasting song and be with him forever blessed in your sweet home, eternal rest. My dear friends, the center of the Lord's great and glorious purpose is motherhood. A Savior was promised, but how did he arrive? How did he get here? He got here through a mother. How would the world be prepared? Through mothers. How shall God's purpose in the world come to pass, be brought to pass? Through the people born from mothers. How shall kings be born to rule, and princes to govern, and presidents to lead, and generals to fight? And how shall a Savior be born, and sinners be saved, and redemption be accomplished? And nations, and governments, and churches, and society itself depend upon mothers for ability. The Lord has determined to save a people, has he not? Mothers conceive them. Mothers give birth to them. Mothers feed and clothe them. Mothers nurture and train them. Mothers are very important. Our Lord, the second person of the Godhead, became the Savior and Redeemer of his people by being born of a woman and made under the law, which I quoted earlier, Galatians chapter 4. When the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Mothers and motherhood is often used of the Lord to illustrate his salvation and love. The scripture says in the book of Galatians that being under conviction, being brought forth into the kingdom of God, is compared to a mother giving birth. Paul said to the Galatians, "My little children, I travail in birth pains until Christ is formed in you, just as he was formed in Mary, so he might be formed in you." Isaiah 66:13, "As one whom his mother comforts, says the Lord, so will I comfort you." Jesus said in John's Gospel chapter 3, "Except a man be born again." What is that? Well, is not that a reference to our birth? Nicodemus said, "How can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born?" So even the Lord Jesus Christ, in this great salvation,